joining our show today.
Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Wanda McKinley, along with Stephanie Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused women and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help women transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient women in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, and to uplift them and provide them with a new life and with a new perspective of a normal life is by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive. And I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help women and children who have or may be walking in my shoes. Thank you for joining us again today. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing? Mute. Let me make sure she can talk. Stephanie, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hey, I am wonderful.
How are you today?
I'm great.
I'm good. I'm waiting for this rain to come on down.
Well, it is raining over here.
Oh, well, bring some over here. So how is it going today? And what you got for us as far as our nice fundraising events that we have going on every single day?
Okay. The current fundraiser that we have for We Are Survivors is the Kroger Community Rewards Program. If you go on KrogerCommunityRewards.com and link your card to We Are Survivors, our number is 21490. Again, that's 21490, or you can just type in the name We Are Survivors and it comes up. We also participate in the Tom Thumb Rewards Program. Our number with them is 13451. Again, it's 13451, and you have to go on TomThumb.com and print out their form and complete it and send it in or get it to us, and we'll make sure they get it in. We do the CPN discount card, which is $15 a year, and you get discounts all over the U.S. We also participate in Compass Bank. If you have an account with Compass Bank or if you open up an account with Compass Bank, if you give them the We Are Survivors code, which is 113631, then they will link your account to us and they will give a donation. Any of the fundraisers that I currently mentioned, I will be happy to assist you in, you know, getting you set up. You can text me or call me at 817-320-2571, and we'll be happy to assist you.
Thank you so much. Today, we're going to do something different because I know we do have callers that call in, and you may have questions. So what we're going to do is the last 20 to 15 minutes of the show, we're going to open the lines up and give you an opportunity to make comments or questions. So that way we won't pick up a lot of the background noise from everyone that has called in and has listened. Today we will be talking to Oscar Strange. Oscar is going to be talking. Hi. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, ladies?
We're wonderful.
We're wonderful. And today what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to co-host.
Love it.
And allow Stephanie to be the host because this is someone that Stephanie knows. And so I'm going to allow Stephanie to take control. Go right ahead, Stephanie.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Stephanie Kennedy Alford, and I have gone through many years and levels of abuse, as well as from, you know, family members, employers, church, friends, to abuse in marriage and relationships. But what we're going to do today, we're not talking about my story. We're going to talk to someone else and let them share their story. Today we will be speaking with Oscar Strange. He is the second male that we've had on our show. Now, when I first spoke with him and learned what he'll be sharing with you, I asked him, would he be willing to share this, you know, as a way to help others that might currently be in this situation or haven't been in the same or similar situation. So, therefore, today we're going to allow Oscar to share his story on how and when he realized that he was dealing with an abuse issue. So, Oscar, we want to welcome you and thank you for sharing and caring enough to share your story with us on our We Are Survivors Domestic Violence show. We're going to turn it over to you and let you go ahead and share your story.
Well, thank you very much, Stephanie. Let me say before I start telling my story, Stephanie and I are first cousins. She probably doesn't want me to mention that, but we are first cousins, and we met for the first time about a month or two ago. She came out to California. She is an outstanding young lady. As she indicated during our gatherings and meetings, she has experienced or been in domestic violence relationships. And I shared how I was the abuser in the physical relationships, how I came to terms with it. Let me also say my qualifications are that I have a master's in professional counseling. I am currently a licensed substance abuse counselor, and I am in my internship to become a marriage family therapist. So
that's awesome.
I'm going to, yes. Hello.
Wow, we're listening to you. Your credentials. She said awesome, but your credentials are amazing, and I do want to actually even commend you for the education that you have that speaks volumes, really, of your character.
Thank you.
So I do commend you for pushing through and fighting against the odds.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
That's a wow.
And I only mention that to say so that those that are listening, they won't feel that I'm just coming off the cuff. My experience, as I said, as an abuser, the things that I've learned, I've researched, I've gotten education and counseling that has gotten me to the point where I am today. So without further ado, I'm going to start my story. I was born in 1956, and back in those days, there really was not much law pertaining to domestic violence. I believe domestic violence wasn't even labeled. It was just called male and female, or male and female in relationship having arguments, okay? During the 1960s, I was raised by my maternal mother and father, but I experienced quite a bit of physical abuse, fighting, actual fighting. And I remember as a young boy laying in my room, and I would hear glass breaking, bumpings on the walls, just hollering and torture and things of that nature. And at that time and at that age, you know, I was very frightened, and I did not know the nature or the reasons for these things happening. But at a very young age, I said to myself that I would never allow a woman that I'm involved with to raise their voice, curse at me. It was a sense of entitlement, male entitlement that I grew up with. I have learned during the years that my mother was not the emotional type of loving female. She provided for me materialistically everything that I needed. But growing up as a male, my male influence was my father, who raised me to believe that men don't cry, men don't show emotions, men are strong. I was raised in athletics, where I played football. The motto over there is the harder you get hit, you hit them back. My mother and father fought. My brothers and sisters and I fought. And what it boils down to is that we never learned to deal with conflict in a healthy manner. So I got married. I left when I graduated. I left home immediately because I wanted to be on my own, and I really didn't care for what was going on at the house. But I got married at 19, and what that I have learned what that was all about is I was looking for that female emotional bond, connection. And at 19, I didn't know who I was, let alone, you know, try to be involved in a marriage. But this young lady that I married, who was the mother of my twin girls, very, very nice lady. And I hate to have been in her shoes married to me, but let me get to the point. This young lady couldn't curse around me. She couldn't raise her voice around me. She couldn't disagree with me. What I said went, and if it did not go, I give a back end. I remember this one instance where I thought she was cheating on me, going out with a male. Thought, hear me, thought, had no evidence of it whatsoever, but I lost it, and I got livid. And I actually physically, whooped her. I'm sorry for the lack of a better term, but to the point where she had black eyes, bruises, this, that, and the other. She did go home to her mother after that, and I felt so remorseful after it happened, which most of the time we males do. And I went to the mothers, and, you know, mothers are protective. You know, you can't see my daughter. You can't talk to her, this, that, and the other. But I pleaded and begged for her to come back and told her it would never happen again. I would never lay hands on you again. She came back to me, but it did happen again, over and over again. Needless to say, that marriage, after 10 years, that marriage ended in divorce, and I immediately, within 2 days of the divorce, got married again to another female. And
wow.
And this young lady was more temperamental than the first, meaning this girl would fight back, you know, and how dare her, this is me thinking, how dare you gonna fight me? You can't whoop me. So that added to my, fueled me when we argued and got into a fight, to show her you can't whoop me. All the wrong reasons, all the wrong thinking, this, that, and the other, but I'm sharing you where I was at that time. This one particular that we had, it was 1994, and it was so bad that the neighbors called the police. We fought that morning. I went to work like it was nothing. She didn't go to work because she was bruised up and battered eyes and things of that nature. But I got a call from the police at work to come in for an interview. There's been a report that there was physical violence in front of the house. This was 1994, and between 1994 and 95, and this was right around the time that O.J. Simpson murder case was going on. And at that time, enforcement started looking at domestic violence from a different point of view, meaning that women are victims, or that, let me break it down. Nicole Simpson was a victim of O.J.'s violent abuse. Law enforcement started really cracking down on it, and I went in for the interview not thinking of anything, not afraid, this, that, and the other. You know, I'm right. I mean, you know, we were fighting. Heard everything they had to say, and ladies, when it came to, you know, we could lock you up for this. That's when it clicked. Lock me up? Jail is something this person, Oscar, is afraid of. I'll just say that. I'm man enough to say that today. Didn't want any part of that, this, and the other, so I began to look at my actions. This same young lady that she didn't file a report, nor did she press it to where it could have been a criminal act to where I got locked up. But her father, who I respect to this day with the utmost, was a preacher. And at one of the family functions, he pulled me to the side. He says, "Oscar, do you know what a real man is?" And I looked at him, "Yeah, I'm a real man." He says, "No, a real man would never lay hands on a female. She doesn't have to be your wife. She can be your sister. And any female, you don't lay hands on it. Number one, you're physically, you're not made up in the same mold. You're more muscular than females. They can't stand up to you." And then he found out the biblical side of it in loving women as, or loving my wife as Jesus loved the church. And, you know, there was no instances where you saw Jesus or read where Jesus physically abused anybody. Sure, he got mad at that, you know, at those that, and excuse me, I have to paraphrase when it comes to biblical scripture because I'm a baby, but he got mad when he walked into the, temple, Stephanie, and he saw it being used and for all the wrong purposes and turned tables over, this, that, and the other, but there was never any full of abuse. So at the time he said it, excuse how I'm going to put this, but I thought he was a punk. Because no man will. Oh, he also added, if you were to get spat on in the face by a female, a man would turn and walk away. And I just couldn't receive that. No way in the world this, that, and the other would that happen. This man is an older gentleman. He's into the word. He's a punk. So I went on for another 6 months, got into another beef, and when I say beef, got into another physical abuse situation to where I was mandated to take domestic violence courses. And that's where it...
Let me ask you a question right there. When you said you were mandated to take those courses, did you, at that time, did you have to pay for those courses, or how did they do it at that time?
At that time, I did have to pay for the course. It was either that or go to jail. So, yes, I did have to pay for the course. However, today, not to jump ahead, today there are many sources in domestic violence help that are free of charge that can be obtained. I know at the firm that I work, we go pro bono. Because there are victims and abusers out there that they really don't understand the nature of where all this is coming from. But getting back to my story briefly, and then I'll cut it off. In this class, what I learned was that the way I was raised, let me back up. We live in a male-dominated society, for number one, have been, where the country was built with women for the longest didn't even have the right to vote. So it's a male-dominated society, which we still live in, although the ceiling is starting to open for women. But us men, let me keep it on me. I learned that I was living with a sense of entitlement, meaning that I misused, or my power was misused to control and to manipulate and to keep my female in check. And that's not a real relationship, I learned. I learned tools to prevent that from happening, such as knowing my triggers or when I'm getting angry. Let me say, it wasn't just anger as to when I became physical. It was rage for me. It was just a rage that came over me. I really, and this is the honest to God truth, didn't know what I was doing, but once I got to that point and I started hitting, I could not stop until I saw the person just beat down. But I have learned to know those signs when I'm getting to that point, and I will walk away today.
Now, let me ask you, when you said you got to the person was just beat down, when you saw, you know, them beat down, how did that make you feel?
At
or
the
did
time,
it
right,
feel a different way?
Yes. At the time it was happening, right after the time, to be honest, I felt tired. No, I'm not trying to be funny, but realistically tired. It wasn't until the next day that I saw the results of the beating that I felt remorseful, or for a better term, I felt bad. I felt wrong. I felt less than a person for what I had done to this person. To answer your question directly, that's what I was feeling. With that, today, let me bring you up to today, with the things that I've gone through with my learnings, counseling, I am happily married today to a beautiful woman. This woman, I feel, was God sent to me. That's another thing in my life, and part of my control was I chose my female companions on what I thought I wanted. And for me, it was visual. It was all visual. I didn't really check the heart. I didn't really look at the person's inner being. I've been married 3 times, divorced 3 times. I said to myself, well, as in baseball, 3 strikes and you're out. I vowed to never get married again. And lo and behold, the Lord put my current wife into my life, and it's the most beautiful thing that has ever happened to me. Do we have arguments? Yes. Do we have disagreements? Yes. Do we get so angry with each other that, yes, we get angry with each other, but it never results to violence? What I have to do is not only learn myself, but to learn my wife. I am the type of person that when we have disagreements, arguments, this, that, and the other, I want to talk it out, come to a compromise, and move on. Where my wife internalizes. She keeps it. She holds on to it. She, you know, it might take her a week, and she won't talk to me for a week, and that just hurts me, but that's her way of processing. So I give her that, and I shouldn't even say give her because I'm using the wrong word. She earns that. She deserves that. And when she's ready, then we talk and we go from there. So that is my story. I'm sticking to it.
Well, Arthur, if there was someone listening that is experiencing getting to that point where they have a lot of rage, what would you tell them?
What I would tell them is to find someone that they respect, someone that has gone through what they're going through as far as getting to that point of rage, seek some type of counseling or therapy.
Do you agree that it's okay for the counseling? Because, you know, a lot of people think that you have to be crazy to go get counseling.
I'm glad you brought that up. You're absolutely correct. It is okay to counsel. Even if when things are going well, I recommend counseling. Not because I'm in the profession. It's because there are things that go on inside of us, cognitive, where we need or can use some type of explanation or just voicing. Talk therapy is the greatest tool in the world. So getting back to your question, what would I tell them? I would suggest to them, if you really want to overcome this, first realize you have this problem, and it is a problem. Secondly, seek help. in forms of professional counseling. Ministers or pastors or church, and most, oh, most importantly, I almost forgot, Stephanie, go to the Lord. Learn the word. Get to know, gain a relationship with the Lord, and knowing, getting to know the word. Everything we really need to know how to survive in this world is in that book, and I'm speaking of the Bible. But, I should say, but, it's a matter of getting in there, digging. For me, my interpretations, I read for myself because I don't want to allow, I want to allow someone else's interpretation to be my focus or to be my understanding. But if I don't understand, which I'm going to admit, I don't understand everything about the Bible, then I will go to a reliable Bible-based person and get the answer.
Okay, awesome. Okay, you mentioned growing up that you saw certain things. Would you say that in your mind that you thought you, your family, or shall I say our family, was a normal family?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. My my immediate family was very dysfunctional. Now, you have to I know you realize, when we get married or when we have children, there are classes that we take, especially back in those days, or manuals as to how to raise children and healthy ways in dealing with things. There are classes nowadays, and I pray that those, especially youngsters, young people, I should say, get some type of premarital counseling before they get married, because what you're doing is you're bringing in two separate sides, bringing one. And, you know, it's a matter of combining, knowing how to combine those two differences and making it one for it to be successful. If I'm probably not making any sense. But to answer your question,
you're making sense.
I was raised in a very dysfunctional family. Not to put it on my mother nor my father, my mother was a very strong, independent woman. Most natural raisings or anything was done by my father. To be honest, I resented my mother. Because of the way she was, I wanted it from my father. I'm sorry, I wanted it from my mother, but my father was giving it. At the same time, he's raising me to be a quote-unquote man, as he understood a man to be. My father was a womanizer, so it was okay to go out and, for lack of a better term, put notches on your belt. The more women you had or you have been with, sexually I'm speaking of, that made you a man. Like I say, I played football. You get hit, you hit the man back harder. So nowadays, and then see, for men, when we go through these things, we can have an argument with another man. We can fight another man. Look at boxing. And at the end of the round or the tournament or the end of the fight, this, that, and the other, we shake hands. We don't hold on to it. You know, we move on is what I'm trying to say. So, again, getting back to your question, Stephanie, no, I was raised in a normal family. A lot of my influences were instilled in me as a young man as to how I used to be, and I had to break that cycle. Yes, ma'am.
Well, we are very happy that you did break that cycle and that you looked at things that you went through growing up, things that you went through as an adult, and that you have taken the time to make that change.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I also do want to commend you as well. And one of the things that the organization is going to focus on is helping our youth, because you are a prime example of a child that is raised and brought up in an abusive home, that you mimic what you see and what you hear.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Even though you said, when Stephanie asked about, do you think your family was normal, you said no, but that was your normalcy,
absolutely,
the abusiveness. You knew it wasn't right, but that really was your normal way of life. And I was on a radio talk show last night, and with TMI radio, and I was trying to get the listeners to understand that people always want to ask, well, why is she still there, or why is this, or why is that? But what you don't realize is that's that person's normalcy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to us on the outside, it's not, because I actually last week sat down and actually put together, I was abused for 24 years. I'm just 42, so that was over half my life. So for me, that was my normalcy, because that's what I knew.
Yes.
So it's just amazing how... You know that wasn't the normal, but for you, that was your normal, even though it was a dysfunctional family. Your dysfunctional family was, that was how they, and because of what you heard and what you saw, and because of your father, you became what you saw and what you heard and how you was raised. And that's why go ahead.
No, you're absolutely correct, and just to elaborate on what you're saying, at that time, yes, that was normal for me. Didn't know that my family was dysfunctional. The fact that both my parents lived under the same roof, I thought, you know, hey, I'm better than most, because a lot of my friends were raised in a single-headed family. The fact that my father did things for me and my mother did things for me, again, I'm not my mother, she provided material things where I was looking for emotion. A lot of men don't know or don't deal with emotion. We're told we're not supposed to feel. We're not supposed to cry. We're not supposed to hurt. If anything, we inflict that on others, but we don't receive it. But in reality, we do receive it. And when we do, like, it took me... a lot of understanding and training to say the word, you hurt me. That was not supposed to come out of a man's mouth as far as my father was. To say that, to feel those emotions, we don't know how to process those. We don't know how to, well, let me bring it back to me. I didn't know how to process those. I didn't know how to process those. I didn't have any examples of a quote-unquote, normal, healthy relation conflict resolution. And today, I still strive at making things better, but I have a much better understanding than I did as a young man.
Do you know anything regarding your grandfather? And I'm trying to, like, go back as far as possible to see even where your father learned his behavior.
Well, I know of him and I spent some time with him, but my father was raised in a family of 7 brothers and 1 sister, raised in Marshall, Texas, a little town. You know, Stephanie knows about Marshall. Come on, Stephanie.
I was born and raised there.
My mother was born in Marshall, Texas also, and it was... my mother and father went to school together, but she would not have any dealings with him, and this is from my mother's mouth, at that time, because my father was a whoremonger, as was his brothers, as was his father. A female that dealt with him in those days were labeled as, I don't want to say the word, but it wasn't favorable.
Right.
To deal with them. It wasn't until they, Compton, California, that they met. As a matter of fact, my mother, no, she's not going to kill me. They were coming out of a club, and my mother was walking down the street, and my father was hanging on a She says he was hanging on a light pole, drunk as Cuda Brown, and he saw her. he referenced her behind and said he was going to marry her, and that's when they hooked up. I will say, I think a lot of what I is from him. I used to be a very visual person, as I said earlier in my story. If a woman was appealing to me visually, then that's what I went for. But I didn't care about, didn't pay attention to the internals, meaning their heart, their spirit, their soul. That's important to me. Well, not nowadays, because I have one of those that has a great heart, great spirit, great love for God, outstanding love for God, who is helping me to also grow. So I kind of lost track of your question. Oh, my grandfather. Yeah, he was a whoremonger.
Okay.
Well, yeah. And see, that, like I said, that kind of goes with what, as far as breaking the cycle, because if someone within the family doesn't acknowledge, like yourself, that, hey, this is not right, this is not the way of life, then it just repeats itself. So, for instance, if you had sons and you still stayed on the same path, then your sons, unless they decide, okay, this is not the way I'm going to live my life, then the cycle just constant, it just repeats itself. And a lot of people don't realize that these young children that are abusing their boyfriends or girlfriends, majority of them live in an abusive home or have been exposed to some type of abusive relationship in order to learn that behavior, because we weren't born to be violent against each other.
Yes. Oh, amen. Yes. Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, they also say that if you come from a family and you've seen it, if it's in your family, you tend to date a person or, you know, be attracted to somebody like that. And I would say that's true, because my abuse, my physical abuse that I really recognized didn't start 2 years after I was married. But now when I look back at things, in high school, when he slapped me that first time, you know, that really was a sign. It was a sign that I missed.
Yeah.
You know, and we oftentimes we miss signs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, oftentimes when there's somebody in our family that has been the abuser, then somehow we attract the same thing.
Yes, yes.
And I have been trying to find out. I have asked guys, you know, that have approached me, told me that they're attracted to me or whatever, and I'll ask them, well, what attracted you to me? You know, because I want to know what it is that where I'm attracting, you know, people like that. You know, and it's only been a few people. But still, whatever it is, if there's a sign or whatever that I was throwing off, I want to know what it is so I don't throw that sign off.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what I'm going to do now is it's 20 minutes before our wonderful show is going to be over. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call up the last four numbers of the phone number, and I'm going to unmute that caller. So if that caller wants to say something, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do so. If not, then we're going to mute your phone back and go to the next person. So the first line that I'm going to unmute ends in 2591. So I'm unmuting. And caller that ends in 2591, is there anything that you would like to say or any questions or comments? Okay.
Well, I've really enjoyed listening to the message. And I've got a lot out of the message because I've been abused myself. My name is Terry Kennedy Owens. I'm Stephanie's sister and Oscar's cousin.
Hey.
Wow.
And I'm listening to everything that I've heard. I've really gotten a lot out of just listening because I've been through a lot of things myself.
Well, we're glad that you listened, and thank you for being a part of the show.
Thank you.
The next caller that I'm going to unmute, their number ends in 8436. So if you would like to say anything, you're actually live right now on the air. That number is 8436. Would you like to say anything?
And you don't have to give your name if you don't want to, but you're welcome to give your name just in case somebody's, you know, scared to speak up.
Yes, yes, so true.
Okay. Are you there? Do you want to say anything? Okay. The next caller that I'm going to unmute, the number ends in 2998. So if you would like to say something, you are actually live on the air. Is there anything that you would like to say? Okay, once again, that number is 2998. If there's anything you would like to say, you're live. Okay, we're going to mute that caller. The next caller that we have, the number ends in 5452. If there's anything you would like to say, you are actually live on the air. Okay, once again, that last that number is 5452. Okay.
Stephanie, if I may, while you're waiting on callers, I have a question that I'd like to pose to females. I'd like to hear yours or Wanda's or anyone that wants to call in response to, if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's
fine. Go ahead.
The woman that I'm married to right now has a history of sexual abuse when she was growing up as a young girl, physical abuse during her previous marriages. And what she has said that's interesting to me is that she grew up...
Steve Vanilla.
Amen. How do you know I was going there? She grew up with this fantasy of... living in a house behind a white picket fence, and her man was going to be a knight in shining armor. She's looking for love. And the fact that she felt damaged, she, you know, went or fell for, or not fell for, but she chose, or the people that chose her, the person, a man that chose her is whom she went with. She didn't look at the signs that Wanda spoke of earlier, such as while dating, the raising of a voice. A man, when he gets upset or you have a disagreement, when you raise your voice over something that's minor, raise your voice, period, not being able to constructively have a conversation, that things like that was overlooked. I know the ratio to male to female is close to 3 females to every male, even less so than for African-American culture. My question is wanting that to be loved, wanting to be in a relationship, have anything to do with choosing a man or being chosen by a man that might not be best for you, for a female?
Stephanie, you want to answer first?
I'll start first. I would say for some women, yes, because I know women that feel like they have to have a man. So
yes.
For women that feel like that they have to have a man, they're just happy that they have a man, and they oftentimes will just deal with what it is that man is, you know, is dishing out versus them, you know, finding a good man.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
For me, mine was quite different because I really took to my abuse being my norm. And when I begin to date, they were really, men were really objects for me.
Mm.
And it wasn't about love. It was about what can you do for me in order for you to be able to enjoy My Fruit. Unfortunately for me, you know, your father teaches young girls your ABCs, 1, 2, 3, how to tie your shoe. My father taught me that because I'm a woman, and honestly his words were, what I have between my legs, I should never go without anything in life. Those words stuck with me.
Yeah.
And because those words stuck with me, then men to me were objects. That's, so if I was with someone, it was because of what they were doing for me. That was tangible.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about love. And when I did get married, there were signs prior to us getting married, but I really pretty much ignored it, overlooked him. But I did tell my husband after we got married that I actually gave him 2 years to get everything out of your system, even though we were together 4 years before we got married. I gave you an additional 2 years because that switch in me, that was dormant. Once I switched that switch back on and stepped outside of my marriage, then I went back into survivor mode. So for me, it wasn't the picket fence. It was, can you paint my fence? Yeah, mine was different.
Wow. Okay. Okay, can you pick a pen?
And that's one thing, you know, when you talk to survivors, it's amazing how we internalize and we may be on the same journey, but our paths are very different because, you know, some people internalize things and how they internalize it helps them get through what they're going through. And when people meet me, they always say, you don't look like what you've gone through. And everyone handles things differently. And for me, the rage and the hurt, I turned it into, okay, I know I have something that he wants. Let me see what I need. And mine was different. I became very promiscuous for me. That's what happened for me.
Okay. Very interesting. And we have,
yes, you're welcome. We have two more callers that I have not asked, and this number ends in 4872. You're actually live if there's anything that you wanted to say or ask. And again, that's 4872. Okay. And then we have another caller. The number ends in 8987. You are actually live if there's anything that you want to say. Okay. 8987. All right. Well, we did open the lines for people that maybe had questions or comments, and our listeners just actually want to listen, and that's okay, too. We do appreciate the person that did speak and have a comment. All right.
I'd like to add one more thing, Stephanie. You know your cousin likes to talk.
Talk.
Go ahead.
Okay. I would like to address those that are they find themselves in a domestic violence, physical abuse situation, living with those, I would highly recommend, that's something that you don't want to develop a safety plan for yourself, meaning support group, having a place to go when the occurrences happen. Oh, most definitely, first and foremost, report the situation. I have so many cases I've deal with where the criminals refuse to call the law, or they don't want to be a snitch, or they don't want to turn their man in, or they'll get more of an abuse if that happens. The law is there to help you. I have this one friend I'd like to share with you, and I'm not giving her name, but she was in a domestic violence relationship with a husband, and she did call the law. But it took the law so long to get there, or the police, let me say, to get there. It was over 4 hours before they got there.
Wow.
Her partner found out that she made this call and beat her so bad that she ended up in the hospital. What you want to do is safety plan to where you can get out of the situation, you have a place to go, come up with a code name for your children so you say that word, they know immediately to, you know, let's get the step and let's make that move. I'm in a support group to where, you know, there are men that take keys and want to lock you up inside this, that, and the other. Some way to get in contact with someone that can come to your rescue immediately. And these things will help to prevent that situation from getting to a point where a person gets sent to the hospital because they're beat up so bad. But that is a sign to let it go. 65% of females that are in domestic violence relationships will end up staying in it, or they get out of it and they bring the man back in because the man is, I'm sorry, it will never happen again, this, that, and the other. I'm sorry, I might be hard-nosed, but I would not accept that without some change in getting help. And over a period of time, it's got to be proven. You know, just don't go on the word. So I just wanted to add that and hope that that helps some out there that might be in that situation.
Oscar, we really do thank you, though, for the abuser perspective. I actually spoke in front of a class that it was two classes and a total of maybe about 35 men that went to jail for assaulting their women. And of course they are in the program where they have to attend the 24-week classes to the anger management, you know, to talk about what they did. And I actually spoke at two of these classes, and the first class, you know, my nerves is really on edge because now I'm sitting at that moment like the victim talking to the abuser. And the second class, my nerves were iced, and so I wanted to know what you did to get arrested and, you know, to go through the room and hear where I choked her out or I stomped her or I jumped on her and, you know, beat her up or I put her in the hospital, and for them to say it so calmly. And so now I know who I'm talking to, what I'm talking to. So let me tell you what was going through her mind when you were choking her and when you were stomping her and when she couldn't breathe and when you were beating her. And I had this man come up to me afterwards, and he was really big. He was very intimidating. And I thought, wow, you jumped on a woman. I wanted to ask what was her body weight, what was her stature, because he just me sitting down looking up at him, I was just like, oh, my God. And when he walked up to me, he just simply said, thank you. He said, I can't put it into words, but thank you, and shook my hand. Wow. And I think for him, it was like he didn't stop to think about what she's thinking. And like I explained to them, you can't tell a woman that you love her and then you turn around and you hit her. That's not love. Because if you're in love with someone, if you love someone, you're not going to hurt that person. And like you said, we all have disagreements. We don't always see eye to eye. And it's okay to agree to disagree. But like I tell those men, there is no way possible you can tell me that you are in love with me or you love me and you beat me till I'm black and blue and think you're going to lay in the bed with me and cuddle. That is not the way of life. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, not to cut you off, but men, yes, we believe that. We do love you. We the things that we do that you speak of, I hear that, or I've heard that before. How in the world can you tell me you love me and you did this, that, and the other? We do love you. It's just we don't know how to express our frustrations, our arguments, or deal with whatever the situation might be in a healthy manner. We do love you.
Oh.
So when they're saying that, here you say, can you tell me you love me, you've done this, that, and the other? We're sick. We do love you. Yes,
Oscar, that doesn't register with me. That you
no, it
as
doesn't.
A survivor,
but a lot of women
you can't get me to believe that. Yeah, you just no.
Mm-hmm.
And I know men and women love differently. We show emotion differently. It's just no way. And that woman that you're trying to convince, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
We're in our minds saying, no, you don't.
Amen.
Now, we're saying, no, you don't, but do we react on what we're thinking? Most of the time, no, because we stay there hoping and praying that one day you'll change and you'll really show us what love really is, the way women interpret love, not the way an abusive man interprets love.
And we can't do that until we learn that. We can't do that until we learn how to do that.
I believe that.
I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Once again, I really do thank you for your perspective. It coming from your eyes and what you went through, your walk, how God touched you,
yes.
changed you, motivated you, and turned you around. I thank him for that because that class also showed me that we can help the man that has or is abusing a woman, and you are a prime example that a person can change. And like I said, when that man came up to me, that showed me that, yes, a man can change, or a woman, because there are also women that also abuse their significant others. And I've had people tell me, you're a very different survivor, because I have forgiven my abusers. And like I explained to everyone, it's like, how can you do that? Because if I hold on to it, they're continuously abusing me. Their life has gone on, but I'm still holding on to what they did to me. And I can't allow that person to control my life, even if they're not standing in front of me. So I really do commend you, and
I'm
like I said, I'm very thankful that you did take out the time to come on our show, and hopefully later on down the line we can have you on again.
Sounds great.
So that you can.
I want to say one thing as well, and if you don't mind sharing, Oscar, I mean, and it's okay if you say no.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was in California and you first agreed to come on the show. You mentioned you didn't want us to mention your name, right? But then just a few days ago when we talked and went over your story and you, when I asked you, I said, so you still don't want us to, say your name? And you were like, oh, I don't care. It's okay.
Yeah.
What made that change just within, say, a month?
After our discussion, Stephanie, I came to realize that that was my reality. That was real. And there might be someone that I know that knows me by Oscar Strange that says, hey, I didn't know he went through that. He went through that and he has been able to overcome it. Maybe I can do the same thing and maybe I can talk to him and he can, if not help me, direct me, refer me to where I can get help. So I thank you for our conversation when you were in California. That's the reason why I changed and said I could use my name. Yes.
Okay. Thank
you, Stephanie, because that was that question was on my mind. So I thank you for asking it.
You're welcome.
And I do want to again thank the listeners. We are survivors. We have empowerment group meetings the first Wednesday of each month at Glam Pam's Upscale Resale, located at 901 North Polk Street in DeSoto, Texas. We also have empowerment classes every other Monday at Bridges Safe House. Feel free to contact us with any questions or comments and survival stories. Survival stories is becoming really important to us now because we do currently do write for 3 publications. We write for the Elite News, which is in the southern sector of Dallas. We write for WOW, which is Women of Abundant Wealth, that will be coming to Barnes & Noble. And we now also write for DK Sami Magazine, which is a magazine that is published in Finland and Nigeria. So we are really excited about being international now as well. So we will look forward to those survivor stories. Our direct number is 214-454-2933. Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. I want to thank God for you listening, and I pray that today on the show something was said that touched your heart. We are here to help, to support, to guide, and to listen, as well as to uplift you. In the name of Jesus, we will worship his holy name. God bless you, and everyone have a good night.
Thank you. Good night.